This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everyone. Rita Reimers here, Cat Behaviorist. We're back with another episode of 19 Cats and Counting. If anybody's counting, I'm down to 15. I lost my boo-boo last week. 17 years old, though. I had a good long life. But what we're going to talk about today, we have Dr. Jeff Feynman back on. We're going to talk about pet wellness right after this message from our sponsor.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting. Dr. Jeff Feynman, you're back with us. I think this is your third time.
It is. You are a record breaker.
I love it.
Thank you.
So you have a new book, and I have downloaded it to my Kindle.
Do I get to hold it up?
Path to Pet Wellness. I love it. Yes, everybody should go out and get this book. Tell me, what prompted you to write this book?
What prompted me was a perceived gap between what I learned in vet school, what I continued to learn for a decade. I mean, I was on the path to becoming an internist, endocrinologist, and focus on the body, the workings of the body. Then I realized by the mid-90s that what I learned was really not really going to give me the answers that I need, and the path was the path that I took to, that everyone can take to see what you can do to help your kitties be their best. It's really what it's all about in my mind, Rita. It's not the name of the disease, not the symptom, not the diagnosis, but is your kitty being the best can be? It's having a happy life.
It's about the whole dog, cat, not just the medical health issue, but also there's, their spirituality and their mental health and all of that.
That is true. And that is why I call it a holistic paradigm, holistic framework, but with W. So whole, versus holistic with an H, which often is using drugs and supplements and whatnot to get rid of symptoms, to soothe symptoms. But we're not looking at just soothing symptoms. We're looking at getting at the root why those symptoms occurred in the first place.
That is so true. A lot of people that come to me for behavior help, I ask them first, rule out medical conditions, because those can really add to behavior issues or even cause them.
They definitely are a trigger and a factor in any behavior, but they don't cause, because the cause is always the same. The cause for the behavior problem is the same as the cause for the medical problem, and that cause is mitochondrial dysfunction. So what we're really talking about science-wise is called the mitochondrial theory, which is not a theory in people. We know that mitochondria are the basis for life and health. So what we're talking about is how to make our mitochondria, how to make their mitochondria as happy as possible.
I love the holistic approach. So many of my clients are quick. They go to the vet. No, I love my vet, but right away they want to put the cats on Prozac or something like that. I prefer going the holistic route. In my opinion, I don't think Prozac or any of those things are needed unless there's a neurological issue. I think there's other things we need to take into consideration with our pets, which is what I love about your book and your approach.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it's the bigger picture that really is going to give us the answer. It's easy. Medicine as we know it is what they call reductionistic. Now, I'm a molecular biologist by my original training, and that means that I started looking at the whole, but on a unicellular level. So I used to grow fibroblasts, skin cells in monolayers, layers of cells, and figure out their individuality based on their receptors, and that's reducing the bigger picture down to a very, very small picture. And I think that we need to take that 40,000 foot view and be more holistic and less reductionistic, which is actually the opposite of holistic, reductionistic and holistic.
Definitely. Was it when you were studying molecular biology that made you decide you wanted to turn it towards animals and wellness? Does it just kind of happen organically?
Yeah. Yep. Nothing ever really made me decide except that I wanted to be a veterinarian since I was 5. And molecular biology came into play even before I became a veterinarian. So I thought back then, because of my chronic disease and my symptoms, I thought I was going to spend my life in lab, working at that molecular level. And then, as I began to live a bigger life and feel better and do better and went through vet school and all that, then that's when I realized that two things come together. It's just really everything is coming together in this day and age.
It's true. I love that people are, really wanting to know more than just what to feed their pets, right? They want to know how to make them happy overall.
Exactly. I just moments ago answered a question on our Holistic Actions forum. They were talking about making their dog a vegan and the health benefits of it. And I said, does your dog love veggies? Does he love? And it's like, well, if you are, there are some dogs you offer a piece of broccoli and a piece of meat and they eat broccoli. Maybe that dog be a vegan, but the vast majority prefer the meat because that is species appropriate. And the mitochondrial theory is very clear,
right?
That the happier we are, the better our mitochondria work.
Not just that, but I don't think they get adequate protein out of a vegan diet. I know that a cat would die on a vegan diet. Dogs might be able to thrive, but not cats.
They have to be supplemented.
Right. Definitely. Yeah.
And then you're into you have to feed processed food versus fresh food.
I had a cat that liked watermelon. I'd hold it up and she'd suck the juice out, but
there
just
are cats
as a
that
treat.
Love watermelon, love broccoli, that love it. I mean, my cats will eat whatever. I mean, we basically have to guard the salad when we eat, also steal it out of the salad bowl.
You don't have picky cats? I do.
No, and my friend, pickiness in cats is an early warning sign that underlying root may need better balancing. So, yeah, pickiness in cats is what we call an early warning sign of internal imbalance, pickiness, hairball vomiting, drinking of water. A lot of things we call normal are actually, they're common, but they're not normal.
Right. Luckily, I don't have a lot of vomiting going on. Well, as my cats get older and they get sicker, I do have more with the older cats, but my cat, they're still picky, though, about their food. Some will only eat certain flavors. And I guess that has something to do with maybe what they need in their diet. Is that true?
Has more to do with what they need energetically. The diet, as we know from Chinese medicine, all the foods provide some energetic basis for the body. So, yeah, there are heating foods that favor inflammation, foods that, yeah. So they do know in a way, they're much more intuitive than we are. We feed them based on marketing or what we're told is right. My own brother, who I told about, try food and cats. Because I'm sure you know that feeding dry food is really not the best for cats. But the cat had a urinary issue, and the vet put her on prescription dry foods, lettuce, and then the cat started having new symptoms.
Yeah.
Like peeing outside of the box, which he'd never done before. And yeah. So in that case, the very first step is get him off the dry food.
Yeah, the dry food, it's just, my cats eat both because they like the crunchies, but that wet food's essential for keeping them hydrated, for one thing, and for avoiding the crystals and the urinary tract blockages.
And I focus a lot, we talked a bit about the mitochondrial theory, but I focus a lot on what's called vitamin V. Vitamin V is much higher in fresh food, and even canned food, than dry food. Vitamin V is vitality, freshness.
I love that. That's important. I know I had a lot of clients that feed just dry. I used to own a pet sitting company for 17 years, and the number of people that feed just dry just really is appalling. It's not good.
Well, it's changing. I mean, have you thought back between now and a decade ago? Because you're right, a decade ago, pouring the dry food out of the bag was not the norm, and many people do still do that, but they're beginning to realize that fresh is better than processed, because we know that for people that there's a direct relationship between the amount of processed food you eat and diabetes, cancer, sure, heart disease, yeah.
And there's a lot more of that. I realized when I was pet sitting, there's a lot of cats out there with the same metabolic issues we have. Diabetes and heart disease, all of those same. Liver disease.
Obesity.
It's the food, right? What do you think about the raw diet? Are you a proponent of that?
I am, because when we're talking about vitamin V, raw food has the highest levels of vitamin V, and it's the most natural diet there is for cat or dog or any animal, really. I've not ever been out hiking or camping or walking or anything, and it's an animal cooking his food.
That's so true.
Animals don't cook their food, yes.
Look out, baby. My cat's walking back and forth through here. Teddy Bear, she's a girl, but she came to me with the name Teddy, so I changed it to Teddy Bear to make it a little more feminine. But she likes to appear on camera. So those of you watching the video, if you see a tail going by, you're used to seeing that, right?
We'll call her Theodora.
Oh, I like that.
Teddy for short.
I like that. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, she came to me. Her owner passed away, who was a friend of my mom. So she came to live with me. I have her brother anyway. So anyway, have you had any, in writing this book, discover some things that really surprised you about our animals, our pets?
It didn't really surprise me, but when you read the book, you'll see it's really Archie, my dog Archie's journey from being a rescue through his life journey.
Right.
And what I felt intuitively, but it didn't really surprise me, was how important love and happiness and quality of life was compared to what we learned in vet school. I'll give you a great example. I was at the ER the other night with one of my kitties, and somebody was being discharged, and the lovely vet tech was basically giving her the same talk that you probably give your clients, that it's really, you're doing your best, that your dog, your cat knows you're doing your best, and it's all about love and compassion, and yeah. So yeah, I guess the biggest hit was that it all works together, that love is actually a physical of energy, and that we can harness the power of love to upgrade the mitochondrial activity and energy balance and health span of our animals.
It's definitely important. I've taken in cats that I was told would never get along with other cats, but they do, because I treat every pet individually. They all get love, and they get love from each other. And once they feel secure in that, they're more open to other people and other animals.
Beautiful, beautiful example of the body. The cat that didn't like other cats, but when they were safe, when they were in that parasympathetic state, They're in that rest, relax, and rejuvenate state. They're able to accept the other cats part of their lives and actually realize that they were fun. Fun to play with, you know, run around and play.
I know people tell me too, my cats don't play. Well, do you play with them right? Do you try? You just expect them to play on their own. You have to interact with them. Just like with children. I often compare having animals, dogs, cats, what have you, with having children, because they kind of have that, they stay in that childlike mentality for their whole lives. You know, they don't grow up and go out and go away to college.
And there is very, very good evidence that we need to do the same in order to be healthier, is the more that we laugh and sing and play and be silly, happier and longer we're going to live. You know, I belong to a community where it's not unusual for people to be in their mid to upper 80s and 90s, and they're still vibrant, they're still driving, they're still volunteering, they're still doing the work. And we see that same effect in people around the world. We also see the same effect in animals.
My dad, up until, he was just a month shy of 86 when he passed. And up until the last 5 weeks of his life, he was vital and up and driving, going here and there. After my mom passed, she was not quite 80. He started to kind of lose his purpose in life. But that just shows you how important, you know, surrounding yourself with love is.
Yep. And now love gives you that sense of purpose. Because, you know, when you love each other and love everything you're doing, love the moment that you're in, then that will give you that sense of purpose that we know is directly related to health and life. I mean, definitely. When does disease and death spike in men at about 65, 70 years of age? Well, right after they retire. They've lost that purpose. When they've lost their purpose for life,
And that's kind of what happened with my dad. But let's take a quick break, and I want to come back more and talk more about pet wellness and how it maybe affects us too. We'll be right back after this message.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We're animals. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back on 19 Cats and Counting. In case you forgot, I am cat behaviorist Rita Reimers. Please visit ritareimers.com to learn more about how I can help your cats with their behaviors. But right now, we're talking with Dr. Jeff Feynman about pet wellness and how we can really improve our pets' lives. I love your book. I love your book. You were telling me you wrote it to be a quick read so somebody could just sit down and read through it without, you know, you don't bog people down with medical jargon that gets confusing.
No, all that was taken out. Yeah. Actually, there's a lot of stuff that was taken out by the editors. A lot of the actions, you know, about what you can do specifically or in the supplement. When you buy the book, at the end of the preface, and tip for everyone, because apparently people are not doing this, but at the end of the preface,
you've got a QR code
that goes to a page with the parts of the book that were cut out, and a few handouts about things like conscious, compassionate communication, how you can do that with your vet and your animals, a lot of good stuff. Including a $1 trial for Holistic Actions, which is where that our online platform that we use to teach the methods in the book.
I'm going to have to skip through and get to that QR code. I assume I downloaded the Kindle version. I assume it's in there too.
I hope so.
I'll let you know. I'm going to go looking for that after we talk.
But I think you still have to take a picture of it.
Take your phone and scan the QR code.
Yeah.
I think that'll work. I like to do Kindle because I can get to the books quicker than waiting for delivery, you know.
Yeah, and then now you can search the book. You'll see there's, 200 or something references to love the book.
Probably took you a while to write this, right?
Well, I've got a, yes, it took Maybe 10 years or more, actually, to write. Yeah, it was first about a decade ago. The book, a little ebook called "Do No Harm," because my overall thesis is that the greatest love that many of us need to have is for ourselves, for our bodies doing its job, and that. Working against the body, telling the body, just say no to the body. And the opposite of what we want. We want to be saying, just say yes. And now what do we do? So, yeah, I think that took me a long time to write, to try and bring it down to terms that are understandable, because something in my brain doesn't necessarily translate to the written word, or for me, the spoken word.
I could talk about cats all day, but yes, translating it into a book. I told you before we started, I've been trying to write a behavior book for about 20 years, and I know other people have done it, but I just can't find a way to make it general enough to apply to every situation. It's impossible when it comes to behavior.
No, with behavior, the only general rules I can think of are those polyvagal theory rules of safety. Get them out of sympathetic and into parasympathetic. And when they're in that parasympathetic state, that's when your behavior problems begin to resolve. But if they're in fight, flight, or fear, or freeze, then you could get those behavior issues going to crop up.
My cat likes you. She's rubbing up against your picture on the screen.
Oh,
She
thank
doesn't
you.
do that a lot. Every now and then, I'll find she really likes somebody, or maybe she's watching her hands move. I don't know.
And animals are very, very tuned to energy. So, just like when you have a conversation with somebody that was exuding happiness and love and makes you feel better, the animals sense it as well.
I took in a feral. It's so true that you really have to show them love. He is FIV, so they didn't re-release him. And it took about 9 months before I got to see him. But here we are now. He's been here about 3 years, and every night he's the first one to lay on my chest when we go to sleep. He's become such a love bug, and it's because I treat him with the love. I don't expect anything in return. I just want him to feel comfortable and safe. And getting him to that spot with me was a byproduct, a happy one, of making sure he was happy.
Right. And that I think is perhaps a central theme to the book, to your book, to how we can care for animals is what can we do to make them the happiest?
I love that you include some stories in your book because people love stories. They learn better, I think, from a story.
The book is chock full of cases and actual case stories like a gator with anemia or dogs with cancer or Lyme nephritis or So yes, sure. And unfortunately, a lot of the most serious things come to me and come to HA after they've already tried everything else.
Sure. Sometimes it's the most logical thing, the simple thing that you don't think of, like being aware of their diet, People, if you think about it, when we have a diet deficiency, it definitely affects not just our health, but our mood. And it's the same for our animals, our cats and dogs. If they're not getting proper nutrition, then they're not acting at their best either. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely, for sure. I mean, so the animals, as far as I've been able to determine, are motivated by the same thing, three things that Elizabeth Gilbert was talking about with eat, pray, and love. But with animals, eat, play, and love.
I have something I call PEGS. It's play, eat, groom, sleep, because it's like the cat's natural rhythm. And I'm sure there's something similar in the dog world. I grew up with dogs, but I'm not a dog expert by any stretch of the imagination. But I know our dog was very healthy and happy because we treated him, you have to treat them with respect too.
For sure.
If there's one message you want people to come away with when they read your book or go to your website, what do you think it would be?
The one message might be or would be to focus on quality of life and happiness versus physical symptoms. So the case on the farm this morning was a dog that was having vomiting and other problems and was feeling great in every other way, but the woman was freaking out and about to go to the ER, but the husband said, look, Beam is fine, the dog is feeling great, let's wait and see what happens, and the dog was fine. So yeah, you know, focus on happiness. Best thing for Kitty Cat is often to play the heat, the Hunt for Treats game. You know, if they're symptoms, then go ahead and just play running, finding, catching, eating, and enacting or are enabling their natural hunting abilities.
Yeah, it's just as important with cats as it is with dogs. But I remember, yes, you know, we would take our dog to the park a lot and, you know, throw. He was so happy when he was just chasing a ball and bringing it back to us. That really made his day. Do you have both dogs and cats, Dr. Jeff?
I do. Yep,
and
I do.
Do they get along okay? Obviously, they must.
They do, yep.
And again, why? Because you treat them with love and respect.
And because I visualize, and because I realize that, you know, I'm not thinking, oh, dogs and cats, you know, they don't get along. I just visualize that they are the best they can be, and they are the best they can be because I let them be the best they can be.
I talk about visualization in my sessions a lot. You have to visualize the goal that you want so that when you're doing these things to help improve the animal's life, cat or dog, you're envisioning the end goal and you're projecting more positivity, I think, into the situation.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it's good for them and it's good for us. Being, there's a lot of good evidence that as we begin to awaken, to be more present, be more conscious of life all around us, that's going to translate directly into, you know, our animals and our happiness and health. And of course, our happiness and health.
I think that's true. So your book, again, it's called Path to Pet Wellness. And I know people can get it on Amazon. Yes, show us the book.
Yeah, Path to Pet Wellness.
I love it.
And it's available wherever you buy books.
I started following you on Amazon. There's a little place where you can follow authors. So I started following you. And is there a website where people can visit to learn more about you?
The very best place to go is holisticactions.com.
Okay.
And we've got a free one-on-one course.
Nice.
Which will walk you through the basics of the vitality and balance system that you read about in the book.
Well, guess what I'm going to be taking? We're taking that course. Oh, my goodness. We could just keep talking all day. Is there anything else that I haven't hit upon that maybe you'd like our clients to know or our listeners to know?
Oh, gosh. The number one thing is, like you said, food. Get them, you know, get them onto the wet or other fresh food. Follow their Beam, behavior, energy, appetite, and mood, which is more important than their individual symptoms in most cases, not every case. Because there are per cute problems like a kitty with a urinary obstruction. Their Beam may have been fine before they got the UO, but they still need to go to the ER right away.
Sure. Oh,
they
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you know there's an issue or you suspect there's an issue, go see your medical veterinarian. I have a wonderful vet and he believes in the balance of medicine and holistic, which is awesome. So if you don't have a vet that supports you and answers your questions, find another one because there's another great vets out there that will listen and really believe in this type of energy.
All you really need, guys, is a vet that is open-minded, because
yes,
if you want all your answers, just come to HA. That's what we exist. We exist to work along with the vets, basically, that they do the exams and the diagnostics and all the real vet stuff, and we do the rest. We can help you do the rest, because, you know, the title of the book is, you know, it's the Holistic Vet's Guide to Thriving Pets, but more importantly, empowered fans.
That's an important word, empower them, right? A lot of people come to me and they're like helpless about how their cats behave. No, you've got a lot of influence into that. This is Teddy Bear again behind me. People watching the video see. She's a sweetheart. She was shy when she first came to me, but now she's a love bug too.
Very happy, yeah.
Yeah, and she loves the other kitties. She's got a boyfriend, Dexter. Dexter kind of has two girlfriends, but that's another story. There's a lot of that in my house with 15 cats. So it can be done. Cats can, and dogs and rabbits, even, they can all coexist in peace and harmony. You just have to put your own emotions into it and realize your animals have emotions just like you do.
Exactly. And I do, just for a final word, in the same vein of what you're saying, there's a little book called Kinship with All Life that I would recommend, because it talks about themes that you just mentioned, with animal consciousness and being nice to the animals and seeing their wisdom and embracing it, which is very important as far as helping them to be the best they can be. Just let them be themselves.
Yeah, I love this. More people became pet owners, I think, during COVID because they couldn't leave their house. So my cats are my kids. I don't have human children. So they're my kids. And if you have human children, that's okay. You can have furry children too. Mm-hmm. I hope you'll come back again. I am going to read the rest of this book this evening. And I want to look at that course you've talked about on your website. I'll put all the information in when we write up about their podcast on the website. So I'll have all that information there where people can just click and go to your website.
Sounds great. Thank you, my friend. It's always great to see you.
I'm so glad you came back on, and I hope you'll come back on again. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't thank Mark Winter for giving me this spot on Pet Life Radio. I will be forever grateful. Don't forget, everyone, every day is Catter Day. We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.